Welcome everybody to another exciting, thrilly, life-changing episode of HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew O'Hara here, joined by my pal and frequent raspberry giver to chickens, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
Very good. I didn't even know they ate raspberries, but you learn something new the more you know.
Oh, no. I assumed it was like the ones on their bellies. Like you went up and went,
oh, no.
Like a baby, but to a chicken.
Oh, that sounds gross, but sure, I'll take it. And that's 2 weeks in a row that this show has been described as life-changing. It's amazing the life-changing stories we have heard.
It is still changing lives.
That's right.
Still out there changing lives.
That's right.
Absolutely. So I believe, like, I thought this was funny. Like, we kind of barely touched on it last week because we were busy, but you bought more of those Nanoleaf bulbs when I tweeted about it, didn't you?
I did. The moment you tweeted, I ran, and by ran, I mean I moved my fingers as quickly as they could to the Apple Store app. And yeah, those Nanoleaf A19 bulbs were available. They were $20, and it was like arriving in 2 days, and I was like, done. So I got some of those, got them in, and it's actually my first Nanoleaf product and my first non-HomePod mini thread product. And I have to say, it is pretty awesome. It even shows up in the Eve app. You know, we've talked a lot about Eve the last few weeks with Tim Berth and all, but the Eve app, you know, shows you your thread network and what devices are there. And it showed up right away, the Nanoleaf bulb right there in the thread network thing. And it replaced I did have a Lutron like smart plug where I would turn a lamp on and off, but I replaced that with just the Nanoleaf smart bulb. And I gotta say, I kind of love it. It's got adaptive lighting and can change the colors, you know, dimming and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty great.
That is awesome. I also ended up buying like four or five more and I outfitted them through my basement. So obviously there's a bunch of basement lights. And the weird thing is like with our basement, there's like so many different spots where you might be like entering the basement from, like upstairs, from our patio doors, from like our studio, like all these different spots. And it was super annoying that there was like, you know, like one light switch on the top of the stairs or something. And I was like, okay, I'm over this. Like I'll have the lights off when I come down, then I'll like work until like 11 o'clock at night. And then the like lights are off. And originally I was using some Hue lights. And I thought, like, you know what? I kind of like these better because they're a little bit brighter than the older Hue bulbs that I had around. And I ended up putting them, like, all through the basement instead of, like, half. But so I filled up my entire basement with these things. And then I took my Flick buttons. I freaking love these things. They're so itty-bitty. There's those little round Flick buttons. And I put them, like, by all of the entrance points, like to the basement, entrance slash exit, whatever. And then I set up like automations on these guys. So like one button will turn on like half the basement, two presses turns on the other half of the basement, three presses will turn on all the lights, I think. And then I also set up the conditionals. So if you press it once, it checks if the lights are on or off, and then we'll turn them the correct. So if they're on and you press it, it'll turn them off. If they're off and you press it, it'll turn them on. So it's really nice. It was so cool to be able to like stick these all around the basement because I really did need like three or four different switches for all these different lights. So I put one at the top of the stairs, bottom of the stairs, studio, and our entrance doors and just completely set them up. And it works perfectly. The only spot I actually had a different one in, I put one spot where I put in one of those LifeX BR30 bulbs, and it's the one with the infrared light. So it'll automatically detect when the light in the room is off, like there's like a light sensor in there, and it'll detect when it's too dim, and it'll turn on your infrared light automatically.
Nice.
And that way my security camera can see like across the entire freaking basement. It's really cool.
It is cool. And that bulb is super economical, like $20 for thread, adaptive lighting, Nanoleaf bulb. You don't need a hub. And I had people asking me that, but you do not need a hub. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. Yeah, no Wi-Fi, just Bluetooth and thread support there. But then I also randomly was playing with my old Nanoleaf remote. Have you seen that one before?
I don't know if I've seen the Nanoleaf remote.
Okay, it's a dodecahedron.
Nice, nice.
Yep. So it's like a giant die, and there's 12 sides to it, and then you can just turn it, and it like lights up and vibrates, and whatever side is up, that's like the button that you're pressing.
Nice.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All I did was, this is just mostly for fun. There's not like a huge practical use for this, but there's like mild practical use. But I put it on the dining room table. It was almost kind of like a toy, and each of the 12 sides is set to a different color on the light. So you walk in there and you turn it up, and it'll turn on the pantry lights with those Hue light strips. It'll turn on those lights to whatever color you put
right
up, either anyway, whatever you want to call it. But like turn it to a number 11 and it turns pink. Turn it to a 6, it turns blue. I kept white at like one, so I know where white is, so I can at least, you know, turn that one on and off easily enough. But I thought it was kind of fun. So when someone comes and like they see the pantry, we're having dinner, like you can churn it and change the lights in the room with that remote. So it's a cool little guy. It's a really neat little device.
Yeah, very cool. Well, and along with all the NanoLeaf talk, we have another exciting guest coming on. It's actually the NanoLeaf CEO. And again, he can correct my pronunciation when he comes on. I might have used my one good pronunciation for the year on Tim's name. But Jimmy Chu will be joining us next week on the episode. And we're really excited to have him talk about NanoLeaf. And he's the CEO, like top dog. So excited to have him.
This is like perfect timing. We weren't even like buying all these bulbs and playing with the NanoLeaf remote because he was coming on. These were things that were just naturally happening.
That's right.
In our lives. And that it was like, oh, we can get him to come on the show. Abso-freaking-lutely. Let's do this. Let's talk about Thread and NanoLeaf's awesome lights. So I'm excited. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So look for that episode next week. All right, well, let's hit some HomeKit news. The Sonos Roam, the portable speaker that was leaked and rumored, is now officially launched. It's a 6-inch tall speaker, connects via both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And for the HomeKit side, it actually has AirPlay 2, which is pretty sweet. Not many portable speakers like this have Wi-Fi and AirPlay and all that. It also has Qi charging, which pretty interesting, a very MagSafe looking puck. And it's at $169, pretty economical for Sonos devices, but you had the article on it, so I think it's pretty cool.
I'm stoked about this. I feel like I've talked about it on the show, but my absolute favorite speaker for the most part, there's exceptions, but my pretty much favorite speaker is the Sonos Move. I just love that it is so portable. I love that it has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in it, and it's great. We take it into the yard when we're working. We take it to different rooms of the house when we're working on stuff, because you can just pick it up, move it with you. It's got like a charging stand and everything, but it is hefty. So if we're leaving somewhere, we're going, I don't know, on a picnic or something, like, I'm not going to necessarily bring this with me because it's a big chonky boy. And the Sonos Roam is like, I mean, it was that the hole in Sonos's ecosystem other than headphones, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see that sooner rather than later. But looking at just speaker wise, this thing is just what was needed for Sonos users. And I love that you can play like Bluetooth while you're gone. Then you bring it home and it'll automatically jump to your Wi-Fi and like stream that way. Like it just seamless switching and everything. And there's this cool like audio, I think it's called like Audio Swap. You can bring it inside and like hold the play pause button or whatever, and it'll like jump the audio to a different speaker. So if I have this with me, we're listening to it outside, I come inside and I can just hold the button, it'll automatically jump it to like my Sonos Arc in the living room, or it'll throw it to whatever other Sonos speaker I have nearby. And it's a really cool way to go from like your tiny portable to your home sound system. And yeah, flipping AirPlay 2 on a portable speaker is usually unheard of. They don't do that. So I love that there's AirPlay 2 and Wi-Fi on a portable speaker. So yeah, price point is definitely a little bit higher compared to other similarly sized speakers. But I think with the smart connectivity and AirPlay 2 and everything like that, this is going to be a winning device. I'm definitely pre-ordering one for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you can actually do a stereo pair if you get two of them. So you want to be the fancy guy on the beach kind of thing.
Oh my God.
You know, there's always that one guy.
Such a nerd. Oh, I brought my stereo pair of Sonos Moves.
Put my 5-disc CD player to the beach. But anyway.
I want to listen to Celine Dion and Surround.
Actually, that'd be pretty good. Anyway, next piece of HomeKit news. Abode released a new outdoor waterproof camera, and it is geared toward the inexpensive market. It's only $30 now if you pre-order it. Once the, you know, beginning price changes, it'll go all the way up to $35. So it's a pretty affordable outdoor camera. It is not HomeKit compatible, though, so it's not going to be in the Home app. But if you have an Abode IOTA, the Abode Bridge, which, you know, obviously this integrates with all the other Abode things, security systems, cameras, you can use the camera as things for like as a motion sensor, which is pretty interesting, but you can't get the camera part in the Home app. But if you're in the Abode ecosystem, it's a pretty inexpensive outdoor camera.
Yeah, and I like that you can use this for the Abode. So if you are in a house and you're specifically using like the Abode system as the security monitor, the security already lives kind of halfway out of HomeKit anyway. I like that you can use this as that extra sensor for your alarm system. So you have like your IOTA in one room, you put this in another room of your house or facing another door or something like that. And then even though that's not in HomeKit, it'll still be able to trigger your alarm when your alarm system is armed. So I think that is useful, especially for the low cost here. I mean, $30-$35, that's pretty solid. By the way, like, bonus listener question right here. Someone emailed me asking if there was a plug-in motion sensor instead of all like the battery-powered ones we see for HomeKit. The only solution out there for that is going to be something like a camera. So obviously this one is not HomeKit, but any camera that has the motion sensor in it, that's going to be your only like hardwired motion sensor out there in the HomeKit space. So bonus listener question.
Very good.
I did a dance with that too. You guys can't see it, but I did a little.
I heard the dance.
Little shimmy or something.
Well, I wanted to touch on this. It's not necessarily HomeKit related, but it has to do with your whole setup. And we'll put the article in show notes. Listeners, I encourage you to check out the video Andrew did. But, you know, there's been a whole saga with Andrew's Mac Pro, and he was using a MacBook Air M1 solely in the meantime as the Mac Pro was getting serviced. So I just thought that was an interesting article. I don't know if you want to say anything about it, but going from a Mac Pro to a MacBook Air is a pretty stark difference.
It was a crazy difference, and the only reason this worked, so basically my main takeaway from this, guys, was that the MacBook Air, like literally a $1,000 machine, or I had like the 1250 machine with the 8-core GPU, but essentially like that roughly a $1,000 machine edited video faster than my Mac Pro, which is entry-level $6,000 machine. And the only reason this is working right now is because of the fact that Apple is transitioning to its own silicon. So if I was comparing like Intel Xeon W in the Mac Pro to an Intel MacBook Air, this would be a non-comparison. Like the Mac Pro is significantly better in terms of video production, but when Apple has, you know, their own GPU, their own, you know, metal framework for graphics, and then they create Final Cut to take advantage of its own silicon and its own GPU and everything like that, the optimizations are insane. And yeah, in terms of like specifically video production in Final Cut, the M1 MacBook Air outpaced my Mac Pro for the past like 4 to 6 weeks.
It's ridiculous.
So I just thought that was crazy. And no, I do not regret having my Mac Pro, but I can tell you it's going to make my insides hurt when an Apple Silicon Mac Pro comes out, because that's going to be literally just like mind exploding in terms of power and everything. But I mean, the Mac Pro can still be significantly better. This is still the base model Mac Pro with like the Radeon Pro 580X GPU or something. So they go up to like you can get like dual Radeon Pro Vegas, whatever, Vega Duos in there.
Plus the Afterburner.
Yeah, plus the Afterburner card. So there's a whole pile to this. Read the article, watch the video, and you guys can learn more. But I just thought it was crazy that this MacBook Air was outpacing my Mac Pro. So it was nuts.
I bet you won't even have to wait for the Apple Silicon Mac Pro. I think when this iMac comes out, whatever the new Retina Apple Silicon iMac comes out, I'm sure there'll be tons of benchmarks comparing that to the Mac Pro, and it'll probably smoke it.
Oh, I think there's going to be quite a few things smoking the Mac Pro until there's an updated Mac Pro.
Yes.
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, the machine's been out for a year and a half now, and Apple did its transition. But they knew they were going to do this. I mean, this machine still had to come out. They weren't going to make Pros continue waiting. I mean, if this thing, Apple said 2 years for what, the transition? So This thing could theoretically come out. Like a big tower like this guy could take until, you know, the end of next year to launch.
Right.
So 3 years. What's the trade-in value on this guy right now?
Nowhere near the purchase price, I can tell you that.
I'm still happy with it. I literally outfitted this thing with like 960 gigs of RAM and a huge MPX module with like 8 terabytes of SSD RAID and all this other crazy stuff. So in a bunch of other ways, this Mac Pro still just smokes it. But for that one specific task, comparing silicon, Apple Silicon to the Intel or the AMD is just nuts.
Well, also, you finally had the Logitech Circle doorbell review. We've talked about it on the show before, but now you have your official review. You've used it, hooked it up and everything. So we'll put the article in show notes to read the full review. But what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, it's still absolutely a thumb down. Still the best HomeKit video one you can buy. The reason the text... So we did the video review a long time ago. I did the video review right when this thing came out so you guys could see it.
Right.
But I took a little while on the text review. I really wanted to kind of live with it and see the perks of it. And while the Logitech part is absolutely... They nailed almost all of that. Like the hardware looks great. The video quality, everything is all, you know, good. My biggest problems just lie with HomeKit. Like there's HomeKit deficiencies. And using this for an extended period of time, you start to see those come through of where HomeKit can definitely be doing better. And I have tried a lot of video doorbells and I still love it. It's still definitely the best HomeKit one you can get. If you're in HomeKit, this is the way to go. But it sucks that there are those spots where HomeKit just needs to grow up in terms of video capabilities. So hopefully maybe we'll see something at DubDub this year, kind of just like a long-term text review if anyone's really that interested, or throwback to the video that came out like 3 months ago.
That's right. Well, because we weren't able to do listener questions last week, we have a backlog of questions.
They keep coming.
Oh my goodness, which is awesome. Listeners, it's so cool just to know how many HomeKit users are out there. And, you know, when you really use a product is when you really run into like the deep issues with the product. You know what I mean? If you just have like one smart light bulb, you probably think HomeKit is great, and it is great. But when you really start trying to do automations and triggers, that's when you really run into issues. And we've had so many people reach out. So apologize if we have not gotten to your question yet. We try to do as many as possible if we miss them, but there is literally a flood, you know, of the people writing in and tweeting and all that. So let's hit a bunch of them on this show. So Kirk actually emailed in, and he has a question that a lot of people have asked in the past, asking for if when I turn on a light or trigger a light to turn on, I want it to turn off after a certain number of minutes. And we talked about this before. The default home app, the built-in HomeKit stuff, does not have this kind of option or ability to do it. But if you do use a third-party home app, I just checked in the HomePlus 5 app, there is a part of the automation at the bottom where you can tell it to turn off after a certain number of time, from minutes to hours, if you want to do it for like 2, 3, 4 hours or even more. So to do something like this, you are going to have to use a third-party app, but HomePlus 5 is a great option and gives you that ability.
Yeah, what's funny here is, and this actually kind of highlights another deficiency with HomeKit. It's weird because you have to create an automation that runs. And I tried to originally do it in the home app. So you press your switch to turn it on, and then so your automation would be a switch is controlled, boom, and then you say after this amount of time, or whatever it is, you go to turn it back off or something, or wait, and then you can't do that. So there is another way to do it. So you might be able to do it in the Home Plus app, but I also did it just through a shortcut. So go into your Home app and then go to like accessories control, switch is pressed, and then go down and choose convert to shortcut, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can go choose it that way and then put in your wait command for the number of seconds. So it can be whatever it ends up being for minutes or hours, whatever you want it to be, and then go down and turn it off. And I messaged that back to Kirk. And what was funny about this is it worked. He said he tried it first to test it out for like 5 seconds and it worked correctly. So he set it to his proper number of times, like 30 minutes. And then he found out it didn't work. It didn't turn off. And he was like so annoyed at this. And I was like, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what the heck? This is just HomeKit failing for no reason. And I was so annoyed about it. And then I realized, and I have a similar problem in my bathroom. And that is because he's using an Eve light switch. Mm. Eve light switches are Bluetooth, and bathrooms can often be in more remote parts of your house. And if that Eve light switch is not in proximity to your phone, your iPad, or your home hub, that automation is not going to run because it's sending that to your home hub to count down before sending that automation command back to turn back off. So it worked after 5 or so seconds because he's standing there and his phone just sent the command to turn back off. But when he walked away, so he like showers or whatever, leaves the bathroom, he's thinking that fan's going to turn off in, you know, 10 more minutes. But because he's no longer in the bathroom, he no longer has connectivity and it doesn't shut off again. So a weird kind of thing about that when you're placing devices in your house, thinking about what connectivity you need and when you need it is important. And the easiest thing here, swap out the Eve switch for something else that's going to have constant connectivity, like a Wi-Fi connected one, iDevices, pile of the other ones, and then it would work all the time. Or putting in a home hub in that room. I mean, throw another HomePod mini or something like that that's in range of that switch. But just kind of really funny random thing, and it took me a few minutes to think about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this problem in my bathroom because I have a Bluetooth motion sensor. So like the motion sensor doesn't get tripped from the cat, but it does get tripped when we're in there because we have our phones with us.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. Funny thing. Critical thinking skills right there.
There it is. Honestly, a lot of people probably have issues because of that very thing where the device is not communicating to a home hub and the automation is not running. So yeah, just something to keep in mind.
You know what would be useful for that, Stephen? Thread.
I don't know if we've ever talked about Thread on the show before. Just kidding.
Have we? We should explain it is in very much detail.
Over 18 episodes. Okay.
Yes.
So Sean emailed both of us. I might have missed his first email, but he's talking about he's trying to set up an automation where a light is triggered when a door opens. So he's got a VocoLink contact sensor trying to trigger a light, and he can get it to work when he sets it for any time, you know, whenever the door is open, turn it on. But he wants it to only be active during set hours. And he says he could not figure that out. He couldn't get it to work. He even tried the HomePlus 5 app and all that. So he emailed me first because I have the VocoLink contact sensors, and I do. But because of the design of my doors, I was never able to get him to talk and like correctly to go across the door frame and the door. So I've not had them and been able to use them in automations. But honestly, this seems really strange. I don't know why it would work set to all hours and not during certain specific hours. I don't know. Do you have any idea for Sean?
No. Unfortunately, it sounds like there's some wonky miscommunication happening. Try resetting your home hub. Right. It's always a reliable thing. Resetting home hub in general can fix a lot of issues that people don't realize that are related to the home hub. Like, they're looking specifically at that accessory, and it's not the accessory's fault. It's your home hub that's not sending that command. So in this case, it sounds like your home hub is not recognizing that and sending it back. Right. So reset your home hub, and maybe that helps. I'm not sure, but that would be my thought.
Yeah,
that's the best I could do. Otherwise, try creating a different automation and like try making it like a personal automation or something in the Shortcuts app and just see if that makes any difference, because there's a few different commands there. Maybe it just runs a different way.
So Michael K sent us a message. He's asking, is there a way to look at a specific light or HomeKit device and see all the applicable automations that control it? And so I would say if you go to the Home app and you long press on an individual device, and then you scroll down, there's that little gear icon in the bottom right corner. If you tap that, it'll actually show you a bunch of suggested automations, which is kind of annoying sometimes. I kind of wish I could just turn off those because I just want to set up my own. But it actually does list some of your automations that you've set up with that device at the bottom. So check that out, and you might be able to see what those automations are. And then you can actually toggle those automations off right from that specific device if you'd like to do it. Now, I'm not sure the behavior, if you have multiple devices in an automation, if that automation will show up in every one of those individual device settings menus. But at least for a single device in a single automation, they show up in that gear icon.
I think I was looking in the HomePlus app and I don't see it. So I think I'm thinking of the Eve app. But if you go into the Eve app, I'm trying to find a light that I know has an automation. So in the Eve app, I go to that light that I'm looking at, and down at the bottom, I think it should say automation, and it'll show you your rules or scenes that that light is included in. So it could, or whatever accessory it may be. So that's like, if I'm looking at that Eve motion sensor, I have like one rule listed under automation, and it shows me all of those there. So that'll show you any scenes or rules that are tied to that accessory.
But strangely, it does not have, like, I'm looking at it now because I have the lamp in my bedroom, and I have it programmed to come on every day at like 5 p.m. But I do not see, it shows the scene it's a part of, but it doesn't show that time of day automation that I have set up in the stock home app. It shows a scene that I have it there, but not the automation.
It seems to be like it's showing like the ones that are like triggering it and not the recipients, if that makes sense. So I guess that's only going to be half useful here.
So weird.
We should have Eve on and ask them why that's the case.
We should have Apple on and ask them why. We can ask them so many questions. But anyway.
Apple, come on the show.
That's right. That's an open invitation for real.
Mr. Apple.
Yeah, for real. Tim Cook, open invitation whenever you want. We'll make it happen. All right. So Cameron sent us a message, and he's wondering the difference between security systems, like a proper security system, like the Abode systems that are advertised as full security systems. You buy the whole package, and the kind of create your own systems. As far as HomeKit, we really just talked about, I think, the Akar system that you can use. It has the alarms and contact sensors and all that. But he's asking, what's the difference? I know one big difference, like with the Abode, is the ability to have the monitoring where it will call emergency services if it's set, you know, if it's set off, and you can do that by day or by a certain amount of time. You could pay monthly, just ongoing if you want. So I know that's a big difference, but what are some of the other differences you think, Andrew, with a whole home security system like Abode or when you piecemeal it together?
Well, so there's kind of like three different levels of a security system, right? You got your professional solution, like an ADT right. doing their own thing. Then you've got a alarm security system like Abode Akara would fit into there. And then your third party, their third option is going to be what he calls like the DIY, but it's like a really basic DIY because it's not really a security system. You're just loading up your motion sensors, your contact sensors on your doors and windows, and cameras, and then going that way. So the difference between a security system in general versus just a buttload of sensors and everything like that and kind of relying on those is a security system you can arm and disarm. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have it on all the time. Like maybe I don't want to know when my door's opened every time that I'm home. I don't need to know that my window was open, my door was open, there's this motion in the living room. Like I don't need to know those things when I'm sitting here. But maybe you want those certain times a day. Yes, you can put your notifications onto that schedule, but you can still get what I'll call it like notification fatigue. And I'll stop looking at them because I get so accustomed to those things coming in. So when you have an alarm system and you actually have it armed, you're arming it when you want it to. So it could be during the day, when you leave. You can have it much more granular and arm it when you want to and disarm when you don't want. And you're going to have that more granular control over that. And then when you see a notification come in that your security was broken, that your door was opened or something like that, it's better to know. The second benefit to doing an actual alarm system is you can put additional sensors on there that aren't in HomeKit. Like there's like a vibration sensor, so you can put that on a window. And if someone would break a window in your house, you're going to get a notification that window received some sort of shock and something happened.
Right.
So that's an additional sensor that you don't have in HomeKit. You can also have ones that are like listen for sound and stuff like that. Like I know Abode has that vibration sensor and a few of the others. So that's kind of an extra benefit. You have more security options to outfit your home. And then the last one is, like you said, monitoring. So you can have just DIY monitoring, do it yourself, or you can have professional monitoring. And we've talked about before, Abode has the awesome ability to do the monitoring for short periods of time. You're out of town for the weekend, pay however much money. It's really cheap to have someone professionally monitor your home for that weekend. And then you don't have to worry about it. You have that peace of mind that someone is watching your house should something happen. And peace of mind is like the biggest thing with a security system, that you don't have to worry about it and you know your house is safe and protected. So I go with the Abode because I'm definitely not going with like an ADT or something like that. I want more options than just putting sensors on my doors. I want to have someone monitor the house if I want, and I want to be able to arm and disarm that security system when we come and go. So the Abode, I think it's kind of your middle route there too.
Right.
Kind of like the best of both worlds.
For sure. Well, David sent us a message and he's asking, he has a home automation where all his like smart lights and devices will turn off when the last person leaves the house. It's a pretty common automation, be able to turn off all the lights when you leave and you don't have to think about it. And so he has it when his wife and I are home or leaving. The problem is if they both go out like on a date and their kids are still home with a babysitter, the whole house is going to turn off on them when they leave the house. So he's asking, what's the fix? I have two possible recommendations for this. One, if your child actually has Apple devices, maybe, screen time set up or set up in family sharing, you could add your child to the home. I actually did that with my two older kids because they had iPads anyway. I added their accounts to our home, and now those automations will include them as well. Even if you don't put the home app on their device, their still location services will be active and the automations will keep them in mind. Secondly, and this is the less elegant option, you just temporarily disable that automation. It might just take creating a shortcut where you can have quick access to it, or just jumping in the home app real quick and turning that automation off. You don't have to delete it. You just toggle it off. So then you leave, you go on your date, and when you come back, you re-enable it. A little more manual, but it's a possibility.
So I think that the kids should just sit in darkness until they get home, like proper children.
Uh-huh.
Is that not an option? I think that's at least a third option. It should be considered. But here's a question for you, Steven, because yes. I don't know if this is a thing. Can you create a shortcut in the Shortcuts app that'll enable or disable an automation?
I don't think so.
That says like active or not active. Oh, dang it. Because I thought it'd be really nice if you could just say, hey, Apple Assistant, the babysitter's here. And then it'll turn off like those location-based automations for you. And then the babysitter left can enable those again. So that way you would just run that simple shortcut. You can use your voice and deal with that kind of automation automatically, disabling those so you don't have to worry about it. So that's a feature. Someone write that down. That should come to HomeKit because I would like that. That'd be cool.
I will recommend there might be a hacky way to do this. As we've talked about, when you use apps like Home Plus 5 or you create automations in another app, they don't show up as stock automations in your home app. They actually create their own scenes and use those scenes as triggers. Now, I will say in Shortcuts, you can trigger a scene and activate it or deactivate it. And so if you create an automation in something like Home Plus 5, which creates a scene, you might be able to then control that scene in a shortcut and do what you're wanting to do. It would require that that automation, you know, turn off all the lights when I leave, be created in the Home Plus 5 app or third-party app. So not sure, again, reliability or if it works, but you might be able to try that. And I'll try that this week and maybe we could do a follow-up next week, but that might be an option. All right, well, Mark actually sent us a message. He was pleading with us to help us figure out, because he's trying to set up his wife with some Siri shortcuts and for her to be able to run the shortcut on a HomePod just by her voice. He set a personal request, did enable my voice and all that, but it still wasn't working. And so I actually suggested something that another listener, Josh, on Twitter said, which was reset your home hub, and that seems to be a fix for so many people. Or maybe it's, you know, see which home hub is being used as the default on that person's device, and it may take setting that home hub, whether it's like some HomePod in a far room or some random Apple TV, to deactivating it as a home hub. In this case, Mark actually just unplugged the home hubs his wife's device were connecting to, waited for his wife's device to connect to a different home hub, and then all of a sudden, the automations worked. And so again, this is not an exact science. It is a fix-ish, but apparently just unplugging random home hubs, resetting them, and making sure what the device is connecting to the right one can solve a host of problems. So Mark was able to fix his issue, and his wife is able to trigger the shortcuts now via the home hub, but definitely not an elegant fix and not super reliable. This person on Twitter, I'm actually not sure their name. Their Twitter handle starts with SDC, but he was saying that when he wants to lock and unlock the door, not by voice Siri, but just by controlling it on his phone, that it takes a lot of taps. You got to open the home app, you got to go to the room, or if it's, even if it's a favorite device, you have to tap the device and then slide it up or down or tap it to lock or unlock. It's a lot of taps. So he wants to do it quicker. Again, I recommend trying Siri via voice. I've actually do it on my watch and it works 60% of the time. But if you want, I would also recommend creating a Siri shortcut, and you can just control your front door lock. It can be toggling it locked or unlocked. And then if you want, you can put that shortcut right on your home screen. You can make a little home screen icon that unlocks and locks your door, so you can do that. Or you can, you know, do a bunch of stuff with Siri shortcuts. You can name the shortcut something very specific, so when you activate it via voice, it is reliable. So a couple options there, but maybe you just want to create a shortcut just for the door lock, controls that home accessory, and you put that shortcut as an icon on your home screen. All right, so our last question, we made it, Andrew. The last question here, this is from Zelko. He sent us a message, and he basically has a ton of lights. He's got a bunch of ceiling lights in a hallway on three different switches. He's got switches in the kitchen, like six ceiling lights on two different switches, and he wants to be able to make them smart. They have neutral wires, so he's debating, you know, what switch do I make a smart switch? It sounds like, because the amount of switches and lights that Zelko has, that it seems pretty complicated from the switch side. So I might actually recommend trying to do some smart bulbs in these lights instead of doing switches. If you do something like the Nanoleaf bulbs, or even get some of the Hue, like candelabra ones, if they're that kind of lights, it actually may be a little cheaper. I mean, you can get some cheap switches also, but trying out the bulbs first, plus then you can get colors in these areas, it might help ease that. And if you go with the Hue bulbs in these lights, you could then use the Aurora that we've talked about. It's the Lutron Aurora. It's this little like round knob that you actually put on light switches, and it locks it in the up position so people can't accidentally flick it off. Then you can click the knob and use the dial around it to change dimness. You would need a lot of those. It sounds like you have like 5 to 6 separate light switches in these different rooms. So that might get a little pricey, but it would keep all the light switches toggled in the right direction. You would still have control with the Lutron Aurora knobs, and then you would have all smart bulbs in these different lights that you can group together and control via HomeKit. That actually might be the best option.
I would go a different way.
Go for it.
So you have to be specific when you're looking for them, but there are HomeKit wall switches that support three-way
right.
or two-way setups. So in my case, I have like a hallway upstairs and we've got like five lights in there. And then it's controlled by literally like three switches, which is like kind of overkill, but also nice. And I replaced one of the switches with a HomeKit one that supports like three-way or multi-point control. I only had to replace one, and it gives me smart control. And then you can flip the other switches, do whatever you want all day long, and it just, you know, it still works because they're meant for that setup. So if you do it that way, you only have to replace one of those switches in each room.
Mm.
You're good. So you have a hallway and a kitchen, and like the hallway has three switches, just like mine. And then the kitchen has six lights and two switches. I would replace two switches. Belkin, there's the Wemo one. There's a specific three-way that works with HomeKit. And I think Meras has a three-way as well.
I thought it was Maris.
Maris. So I'm pretty sure Maris, we'll just edit that out. Edit it. Maris has a three-way HomeKit switch as well. I would go with the Belkin one. I think it looks nice. I like Belkin and the Wemo stuff. And it's got a little light on there, which makes it like nice because you can see it in the dark. It just like glows a little soft white light where the button is. But that would be my choice because you're swapping out two parts versus like 30 lights or 10 lights, whatever it is.
That's true.
It ends up being a lot. I do like the color. Like, it's definitely a trade-off if you want any other capabilities. If you just want smart control, swap out the switches. And it's cheaper. If you want to do the whole lights and everything like that, go with the Hue and some Auroras. That's like your most like kind of function way because you get the smart lights plus the color and all that kind of stuff. But it's the more expensive way. So a couple different options out there for Zelko.
Well, I will put links in show notes to both the Belkin three-way and the Maris, Morose, or Meras three-way light switch as well.
Man, I hope this was a exciting episode for people because this was like a huge pile of questions, man.
Yes. And it's awesome because we can tie in different products, and as products come out, hopefully there'll be solutions to some of these issues and questions. But listeners, keep them coming. Tweet at Andrew and myself, email us. We will get to the questions as soon as we can. We love to answer them and help you out as you build your HomeKit. Links to Twitter are in the show notes. Also, you can email us with the link there. Don't forget, we would appreciate a 5 to 25 or 30 star rating in Apple Podcasts. That'll greatly help out the show. And don't forget to check out the Apple Insider Daily Podcast, where there's new shows every day. And the Apple Insider Podcast comes out every Friday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.